radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Country artist Donna Farah is getting lots of attention and airplay from radio these days with her new single called Little Red Dress. The song has even inspired a contest, which Donna will explain. We're going to hear about her start in music, what artists have influenced her, how she approaches songwriting, and much more. My pleasure to welcome to the show Ontario country artist Donna Farah. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing just terrific. How are things with you this evening?
Good. Thanks for letting me be on your show. This is fun.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. It's great to have you here. And a special thanks going out to Peter Linsman, your manager and producer, and Lauren Tutty, of course, who got the ball rolling. So it's great. We're going to get into some interesting things about your career.
We sure are. Well, I hope so. I hope they're interesting.
And we've got some great songs to share as well, including the big hit now, Little Red Dress. Got another song going back to the start of your career, which we're going to hear and hear about. But let's go back in time to when you first got involved in music, Donna. What first drew you to it and made you want to get involved in it?
Well, I grew up in Thornbury, Ontario, and in Thornbury, Ontario, everybody listens to country music. Well, mostly everybody. And I started playing with my school band, and my teacher started to, like, really open me up and get me projecting my voice and sort of getting me out of my shell. But I never really wanted to do music, like, as a career. I took advertising in college, and I moved to Toronto, and then I met Peter Linsman through a Now magazine ad. He was looking for a demo singer. And I auditioned for him. He thought I sounded great, and I worked with him for a little while, and then he was like, well, I think that we should work on an album for you. And I was like, okay, you know, I never really thought about it before. It's not something I really wanted to get into. I always knew when I was a little girl that I could sing and that one day I would be famous, but I never really knew how to get involved in it or anything like that, so... But
that's
always
the tough part, right? If you've got the love for it and the interest in it, it's getting that start. So it sounds like when you met up with Peter that's when things started getting rolling in the right direction.
Yeah, it really did. And he helped develop me, and he showed me the ropes, and he, you know, gave me a lot of information on the music industry, especially in Canada. And I never thought I would ever be doing this, honestly. Like, I hadn't come through the lines of a good childhood either, so it was very hard to get a lot of confidence, and Peter helped me develop that confidence, so it was nice.
And that's so important to have someone like that around you and to have a full team, because you can obviously show your talents and do what you do, but you need that team around you who believes in you and supports you.
Absolutely.
When maybe you're not sure, you're not too confident.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. It really does. You know, I didn't have much support growing up, and then meeting Peter and meeting some of the people that I've met throughout my life who have supported me and who have really taken on, you know, my career and helped me out, it's just been amazing.
Now let's talk about some of your influences, Donna. Some of them I can list here: Casey Chambers, Janis Joplin, Shania Twain, Johnny Cash. So there's a whole variety, spectrum of artists here. It sounds like you get a little bit from different genres of music.
I do. I love everything. So I take, and I think that's why a lot of my songwriting is so, you know, diverse. And there's a lot of different sounds in one song, because I just love everything in it. I try to incorporate it in a lot of my writing. So, yeah, there's another artist, Danny Michelle. I really love him, and one of the songs that you're going to play was inspired by him. I went to see his show, and then I ended up writing that song, so it was really cool. I'll explain it later when you play it.
Isn't that great? So songwriting, it sounds like it's something that comes natural to you. Is that true? You get inspired by things going on around you, events you've been to, and people you know?
Yeah, I would say I didn't mean to cut you off. I would say I'm definitely a personal experience writer. Like, I write from my own personal experience. And sometimes it takes me being really heartbroken or really in a tragic situation to really write some good stuff. So, what I feel.
Yeah, because there are people who do the session writing, and of course you've got to do that at some point. So you meet and you write then, but you may have started an idea before then. But you kind of wait till those moments hit you. Something has really moved you, or maybe made you feel fun in a good mood as well.
Yep. I've written songs where I've sat in a park in Toronto and listened to children laughing all around me, and I've written a great song that way. But it's not really a happy song, but I've still written it because it's just inspiring. Or I'll wake up in the middle of the night with a line, and I'll be like, "Oh my gosh, I have to write this down."
Do you have a favorite song so far that you've written? It's always hard to choose one, but maybe one in particular that is personal and moves you when you perform it?
I do. I don't have a copy of it for you today, but it's going to be the second single that we're going to release, and it's called Gypsy. And I co-wrote the song with another writer, and it's something that I'm not normally used to writing, and it came really at a happy point in my life, so it's one of my favorites that I like to perform and sing and, you know, listen to.
Very nice. And we can look forward to a new album later this year, early 2012?
I would say early 2012. Hopefully this winter, yeah. So
I guess you're busy writing songs with different writers, including Peter. Do you record outside songs as well? And how many of those would hit you out of however many you listen to? Is it kind of rare that somebody else's song can inspire you to record it?
I don't think it's rare. I just think, you know, I only get songs pitched to me when I'm actually looking for material. But then there's some times where, you know, a friend of mine, I did a show with a friend of mine at the Free Times Cafe in Toronto, and he did a song, and I just loved it, and it was called Boomerang, and I just was like, oh my gosh, I want to record this song, you know. But yeah, I do record other artists' songs and other writers' songs, and actually Little Red Dress is a song that is not my own, that wasn't penned by me, so it was penned by Lila McCann, Mike Mobley, and Rachel Thibodeau.
Great. So how did that song find its way to you, or how did you find your way to it?
A publishing company in Nashville called Mira Music, sent me that song when I was looking for material for this record. So they sent it to me, and I listened to it. I listened to it a couple times, and it hit me really, like, it hit me at first. Like, I was just like, oh, this is totally my song. And anybody who knows me will know this is my song.
Isn't it great when a song can be that right for you, and it's not something that you've written, but somebody else tapped into something that has made it totally you?
I know, it's so true. It's like, it's crazy. But I also, that happens to me too. When I write a song, I'm like, oh, I just wrote this great song, but it's not my song. You know,
right.
I have to pitch it to somebody else. It's not me. So it's,
yeah,
it's weird,
I've heard
hey?
The other song. What's that?
It's weird. Sorry.
Yeah, no, you're right. Because I've talked to other songwriters about that, and you know, it gives you as a songwriter the chance to have that different voice. So if your personality is one way, maybe, let's say, Gretchen Wilson, and people expect, you know, her rowdy songs, she could write a real sensitive ballad that might not be right for her, but it gives her a chance to write for somebody else.
Yeah. I have had a couple of cuts that way. I wrote a song called High on Life, and I just, you know, it's definitely me, but it just didn't have the sound that I was looking for this record or for my last record, so I pitched it to Crystal Barrett, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with her. She's from BC. She's got a single out right now called Girl in a Car or something. Anyway, she's a good friend of mine, but I pitched it to her, and she loved it, and she, that song, she put it to radio, and it did pretty well. So, and it was.
Yeah, it's got to be the right fit. It's got to be the when you're singing it, you've got to believe it, and it's got to, I guess, represent who you are. If it's not quite right, then it's not going to be a good match.
Exactly. Yeah. So
well, let's share the song now, Little Red Dress, that's getting a lot of play all across Canada, doing so well for you. And then we've got lots more to talk about when we come back. This is Donna Farah and Little Red Dress on In the Country.
I'm used to blending in, just a normal girl. Friends out here dancing. I've been here 100 times. So what's with tonight? Everything here is turning. I'm not used to having so many eyes on me. The center of attention, causing my scene. It's just
And there's the latest and popular radio hit from Donna Farah. It's called Little Red Dress, and she joins me on the line. Got a couple more of her songs to play during the show. Donna, I wanted to ask you about your trips to Nashville, and you've had a chance to perform at some of the great venues there, the Broken Spoke and the Bluebird, to name just a few. What's it like performing your songs in Nashville?
Scary. No. It's a little intimidating because, you know, there's so many talented people in Nashville and so many talented writers. And it is kind of intimidating when you're up there with, you know, you just have all these things going through your head, like, oh my, they're not going to like myself because I've got this Canadiana sound or something, or, you know, but everybody's so cool and great. And yeah, I loved playing in Nashville.
What's it like when you're performing one of your songs there, and perhaps it's just you and the guitar, and you're singing the song, and you can see they're getting into it and responding? Maybe if it's a catchy song, they're moving along, or they're really listening closely, and you can tell they're getting the song. How's that feeling?
Oh, it feels really good because I'm outside of my my comfort zone. Like Canada and the places that I play in Canada are my comfort zone. And so when I'm in Nashville playing in these songwriters rounds and people are actually paying attention to me and giving my songs and, you know, paying close attention to my songs, it's really nice. It's, you know, it's a good feeling to know that people think my songs are good.
Do you have moments, have you had moments where somebody's come up after listening to one of your songs and saying that it's meant something to them, that it moved them in some way or it reflected a part of their life?
Yeah, I have. it's funny. I was doing a songwriter round in Nashville at the Boardwalk Cafe. And this girl that was in the audience, I was singing one of my songs that I had written called Baby, You're No Good. And she stands up in the middle of the song and goes, "That's what I'm talking about." I guess she really related to the song that I was singing.
That is hilarious.
It was kind of funny. I was like,
isn't that crazy? There's somebody getting passionate about a song.
Oh yeah, she's like, "That's my song. I'm living that right now." Really nice.
Yeah, it's great to hear that because sometimes we think of the ballads as affecting people and getting to them, but there's somebody who found that song with an ex or somebody in her life who she didn't care for anymore.
That's
terrific. Now, you had a chance here in Canada to open for some, of course, our biggest names here, Jason McCoy, Doc Walker, Aaron Lyons. Is it pretty exciting when you're opening up for acts like that? Because, of course, it's going to be a big audience.
Yeah, I was nervous, because they're not here to see me. They're here to see them. So, but then, you know, once you get on stage and you sing that first song and then people are actually really responding and, you know, having a good time, you know, and I believe that I'm a pretty good performer in getting the crowd, you know, communicating with the crowd, getting them to be involved in my songs and stuff like that. Like, I think that's what helps those big shows and makes me feel a little more comfortable that, you know, but it is scary because they're the bigger artists and also it's an honor too, right? So
right.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Because you get such acts like that, right?
Yeah, you get to play for their fans and probably win some new people into your music.
Exactly, you know.
Do you do cover songs in your shows? Any that we would know?
Yeah, I do some cover songs. My favorite song right now to do that I do as a cover is a Miranda Lambert song. I really love her. And I do That's the Way the World Goes Round, which is actually a cover that she's done. And it's by, what's his name? He's a Canadian writer. Oh, I can't remember his name.
I'm trying to think, too. We can all Google that later.
I can't
like her version of the song?
I had it, too. Yeah, I do. She does it really punk rock country. Like it's quite interesting. So that's one of our like upbeat covers that we do that I really like to do. And then I do some, you know, Dixie Chicks and, you know, some Shania Twain and, you know, just some of the stuff that are the crowd pleasers, right? You know, you always want people to feel good about what they're listening to, especially when they're not familiar with you as an artist quite yet, right? So
yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, to throw in a couple they know so they can get into it and then you get back
so get
to some of your original
and then if
stuff.
And if they like your rendition, it's like, whoa, you won them over.
That's great. Let's talk about the contest now, the Little Red Dress Contest involving this great guitar we touched on a bit earlier, or we may have done that off air, but the Texas Special Guitar and the organization Look Good, Feel Better. What can you tell us about the contest?
The contest is going to, we're actually going to launch it like pretty soon. We don't have a date, an exact date, but it's probably within the next couple, like 2 weeks. And it's called the Best Little Red Dress Contest. And it's my fans and people who are wanting to support Look Good, Feel Better, which is the organization that I'm working with, and that we're going to launch this campaign together. And they are under the umbrella of the Canadian Cosmetic Toiletry and Fragrance Association Foundation. It's so hard to say. I never want to get it wrong. Yes, so we're going to be working together, and what will happen is that my fans can send in, there'll be a Facebook page where they can send in pictures of themselves in their best little red dress. So, and we'll have judges to judge the contest, and the person in their best little red dress will win a grand prize of, it's a $250 gift certificate from Boa Online, which is a Toronto boutique. They have two boutiques in Toronto called the Boa, but this is just strictly an online boutique that the prize is going to be coming from. So that'll be one of the grand prizes. The other is a 12-string Norman guitar that's been autographed by many, many talented and well-known Canadian country artists across Canada. We got it done at the Canadian Country Music Awards in Week when we were out there. And then the other thing that we're working on is the guitar that you were talking about, the Texas Special. It was donated by Frankenstein Guitars by a gentleman by the name of Seppel. And he donated the guitar for the Look Good, Feel Better organization for their Mirror Ball, which is happening November 19th. Yes. So, and the guitar went out to Country Music Week in Hamilton, and we got big names to sign it: Michelle Wright, Johnny Reed, Paul Brandt. You know, a few, just to list a few. They all signed the guitar, and so now the guitar is going to, we're hoping that it's going to start, the auction is going to start at $5,000, and hopefully it will get $15,000, because that's what it's worth now. We're saying. Okay. Well, I think so, and Barry Hogan thinks so too. So a little bit, I just wanted to say a little bit about Look Good, Feel Better. It's Look Good, Feel Better is a program for women with cancer to help with the cosmetic side of it and help them, make them feel better. And, you know, there's a program where they can teach them how to put their makeup back on and stuff like that, and help them, you know, find a wig and when they're going through chemo. And, yeah, it's just a great program and wonderful, wonderful organization to be attached to. And it's all women with all types of cancer. It doesn't, you know, generalize just one type of cancer. It's all type of cancers. So
what a great organization, and great for you to be part of it. It helps to take the music to another level, doesn't it? You're actually giving back,
really,
and you're helping out something. And if our listeners head to DonnaFerra.com, they can keep updated on the contest there. Plus,
absolutely,
I noticed earlier the picture of all these artists we recognize, big artists, signing their guitar.
Yeah, they're all there on the website. And if they keep checking back, like, they'll have all the information that they need to go and enter the contest. And there's no entrance fee or anything. It's just a matter of, like, if you feel like donating, or when they buy the single, some of the proceeds from the single will go to Look Good, Feel Better. And there'll also be an option to donate just whatever they're comfortable with donating.
Right.
So.
That's terrific. Okay, again, we'll encourage our listeners, DonnaFerra.com, to follow up on the Little Red Dress contest. Sounds terrific. Let's turn now to, this is the second single of your career. This is going back to 2003. The song is called Waited Long Enough, and it's a great song. It also features late, great Canadian talent Jeff Healey. What can you share about the song, Donna, and Jeff's involvement with it?
I met Jeff. We went to his club one night, Jeff Healey's club on Bathurst Street in Toronto, and we went there for the karaoke, and I brought along my friend Christy Hall, who was also my harmony singer at the time, and we got up and sang karaoke, and he absolutely loved both of our voices. He loved Christy so much that he ended up marrying her.
But, wow.
I know, it was such a love story. It was really beautiful. And but anyway, so he loved both of us and loved my music, loved Christy's music, and loved, you know, our voices together. And so he kept inviting us back to play at his club, and I played at his club a fair amount of times and stuff like that. And I was in the middle of recording my record, my first record. And that song Waited Long Enough I penned with Peter Linsman. And it's just a song about, you know, I've waited long enough, I finally got here, you know, I'm sick of doing the same old things, and now I'm taking control of my life, and I've waited long enough to do it, so I'm doing it, like, kind of thing. And we pitched the song to him to sort of, like, see if he wanted to help out with the guitar work. And he really liked the song, and he came over to the studio, and he just did what he does, and laid down an amazing tracks, and it just sounded so great, and you could tell he really liked the song, and he's such a wonderful guy, was a wonderful guy, God rest his soul. And yeah, it was a fun experience for me, I have to say.
Now, once the song got out there and it did well for you, following that and I guess a couple other singles, you started to, the CCMA started to take notice.
Yep. They took notice. I got nominated in the top 10. So before the ballots go out to the top 5, I was nominated in a few categories in the top 10. Rising Star, songwriter, I think. I can't recall.
Sure.
A while ago. So, but yes, and it was such an honor to be nominated even in the top 10. Like, you know, you're surrounded by such amazing talent in Canada, and to be recognized, you know, it's awesome.
That's
so,
a great thing.
Even on my first record, even, like, you know, so it was really
well, let's,
cool.
Let's share the song now. I want to come back. We'll talk more about Peter Linsman and working in the studio and the role of a producer and some other topics we'll get into. Right now, this is Donna Farah and Waited Long Enough here on In the Country.
Simple, though you never know. In the
And there's Donna Farrow with an early radio single from her called Waited Long Enough, with great guitar work there from Jeff Healy. He really added a lot to that, didn't he?
He did. Wow. Every time I listen to it, I love it even more. It's guitar work.
It's a great sounding song. Let's talk about working in the studio and with your producer, Peter Linsman. What would you say are some of the greatest things about him as far as bringing out the best singer in you?
Bringing out the best singer in me. He's just so calm. He doesn't get mad. Not that any producer should get mad, but, you know, frustrated,
right,
if I'm not hitting the right note, or he doesn't,
yeah,
like he has a way of saying the right things at the right time, even when I get frustrated. It's a good collaboration, I think.
So do you feel pretty comfortable in the studio at this point? You've recorded a couple albums already. The process is pretty relaxed?
It is. I it took me a while to get used to it. Like I said before, I was very green when I met Peter about the industry and recording and anything. So, you know, when I went into the studio with him and he had me recording demos and stuff like that, it took me a while to get used to, you know, being in another room recording and not having anybody to sing to being like, yeah, it was quite an interesting experience. But I learned to, when you're in the studio and you're singing behind in an enclosed area, because there's the vocal booth where you're not really, you're all alone. And so you have to really dig deep and concentrate on your emotional attachment to the song and, you know, and why you love singing it, and just picture your audience in front of you. And sometimes I'd light candles and put them in the vocal booth just to make me feel, you know, that atmosphere.
Yeah,
whatever,
I've heard of that before.
Whatever works, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It makes sense, because you've got to, like you say, get in that mood. So there's a bit of acting involved in there too, right? Just to find that place in you.
Yep, exactly. So you got to dig deep and find that moment and really feel what you're singing about, because ultimately that's the best way to sell the song.
Definitely, yeah. We want to hear not just a great voice singing a song, but that attachment and emotion, because you can hear that in a song.
Yeah, you know, and the more emotional you are with a song, emotionally connected with the song, then your audience is going to pick up on that, and they're going to feel that, and you know, it's important.
For sure.
Yeah.
How long, for those out there who haven't been in a recording studio and aren't familiar with it, say to record one song, what's the steps you go through? You sing it all the way through a couple of times or sections of it?
Sometimes we, it just depends on the mood I'm in or how my vocals are doing, and, you know, it really does, because sometimes I can go in there and do, like, I wouldn't say one take, but definitely a minimum amount of takes doing the whole song, and it would sound great. And then there's days where I come in and, you know, I've had a bad day or something, and I probably shouldn't be recording, but we, you know, the studio's booked, and so you sing the song, and it takes us a little longer to get to that point where it sounds really, you know, okay, this is, and we're done. You know what I mean?
So. Now, I've talked to some artists who have a preference for day or night, and some of them like to sing at night. I guess they're more accustomed to it. Do you have a time of day, like night versus daytime, where your voice seems better?
I prefer the evening, like late afternoon, evening. I, you know, morning is, no. I'm not a morning person. So morning
is definitely like,
out.
Yeah, later at night, getting into the performing. Let's get into another song here, and then we got some more stuff to talk about in the show. But the song we're getting to now is called I'm Your Someone, and I understand this is one that you wrote with Peter.
It is. It's a song that I wrote with Peter and Peter Linsman, and this is the song I was telling you about where when the people that inspire me and that I, you know, really love their music, and that's what is my muse sort of thing, is Danny Michelle. I went to one of his concerts in Toronto, and when I left, for some reason he always seemed to inspire me to write, and sometimes I need that, and I left his show, and I felt really inspired, and this is what came out of me, so it was really, you know, I was very proud of this song, because it'll always have that attachment to it of seeing my favorite singer, and then I came out with this song.
Pretty cool story. Let's share the song now. This is Donna Farah, and I'm Your Someone here on In the Country. A great song from Ontario country artist Donna Farah. That is called I'm Your Someone. She is joining us on the line from Toronto. You can head to her website, donnafarah.com, to learn more about her and also keep posted on the upcoming CD to be released early in 2012. Catchy song there, Donna, and production, of course, terrific on that, too.
Thank you, Dave. That's a great song.
Yeah, it's a real winner. I like the line in there, I'm the twinkle in your eye.
I'm the twinkle in your eye.
That's a great line. I like that.
Thank you.
Terrific writing there. I wanted to ask you about dream duet partners, Donna. Have you given thought either for the upcoming CD or at some point in your career to recording with someone? And any names at the top of your list?
I have track that I did record a little while ago, and it's a cover. It is a Danny Mitchell song. I know I'm saying a lot about him, but anyway, he is
we'll have to
one
go look
of
him
the,
up later.
I know. He's amazing. Anyway, I did do a song of his called When I Get Out, and he was featured on the guitar, and he did the harmony vocals. So it was like a dream come true for me to do that track. And I'm sure that it's going to be on this record. So,
oh, great.
This upcoming record. So everybody will be able to check that out as well once it comes
out.
Forward
to
but
that.
Yes.
What about pitching a song? You're a songwriter, as you mentioned, and you talked earlier about Crystal Barrett and her interest in one of your songs. What about a big name artist? Is there anybody at the top of that list of somebody you think, boy, I'd really love to hear this person record one of my songs?
Yeah, I have a song that I really think that Kenny Chesney would record, and I think that he would really do it awesome. It's a song I wrote called Being 16, and I just hear his vocals on it, and I would really love it if he would, you know, record a song of mine, because I like him a lot. I like him.
Yeah, he's terrific. When you were writing it, were you thinking of him in mind, or did that occur afterwards?
It occurred afterwards. Like,
yeah.
I wrote the song, and I knew it wasn't going to make my album, and it just wasn't. It was felt it was a little young for me, or not young, but male. It was more male. It was something more
right.
of a male would say. And it's funny how stuff like that comes out of you when you're writing, and you know you're writing about yourself and whatever, but then it comes across as like, well, I think that sounds more like a guy singing that. Like,
yeah.
Yeah,
that can definitely happen. I mean, there's been songs that Faith Hill recorded, a song that Alan Jackson had written, almost from a female perspective, but, you know, it's and there are other examples of that for sure, where a male artist or a male songwriter will write to a female and vice versa.
Yeah, I think that happened with Blake Shelton and Miranda Lambert as well. Where that song, The House That Built Me, I think, was his song.
Yeah, he had considered recording it.
Yes, I think so. So
I'm not sure why he passed on it, but and then, of course, she took it to the top of the charts. Big, major hit.
Well, at least they're married.
Yeah, exactly. So at least it's still within the family, so it doesn't seem as bad. I've heard that, though, with other people, other artists, they'll pass on big songs, but you never know. I mean, he probably had another reason for passing on it. This has been great chatting with you. We're just getting set to wrap up here, Donna. I just wanted to ask you about maybe a goal you've got for the next year ahead, something you'd like to accomplish in your career.
Well, I know one of my goals is to definitely be a part of the Canadian Country Music Awards show. Hopefully next
nice.
Year I can rack up some nominations, or at least just be involved at some point in the Country Music Week would be amazing as well.
Terrific.
I know that we're looking to film a music video within the next little while. So we're in talks about that. So that's another goal. That's a more of a short-term goal, but yeah, for Little Red Dress. So
wonderful. We'll look forward to hearing more about that at DonnaFerra.com, seeing the video and everything else you got planned for the year. Thanks so much, Donna. It's been a real pleasure chatting with you and sharing all these great songs of yours.
You too, Dave. And if anybody wants to buy my single, it is available on iTunes for 99 cents.
Very good. We'll encourage our listeners to do that. My guest today has been country artist Donna Farrah, her latest song, Little Red Dress. I'm Dave Woods, and that'll wrap up this edition of In the Country.